Hey, good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome into the VolQuest mini podcast post game. I'm Eric Kane alongside Austin Price and Brent Hubbs. Tennessee, a 28-18 winner over Kentucky. And this mini podcast is presented by our friends over at GBO Snacks, the official licensed snack of Tennessee Athletics. Whether you're hungry at work, on a road trip, or just need a little pick me up, GBO Snacks are the perfect choice to satisfy that Rocky Top craving. The Vol bars are made of toasted oats, almonds, 100% real chocolate, and just the right amount of protein to satisfy that afternoon hunger. Ideal for a grab-and-go. Gluten-free balls, cookies are a must-have for the kids while managing those sweet cravings wherever you go. And with every purchase of GBO Snacks, you're contributing to the UT Athletics. Proceeds from every sale go to supporting the amazing student-athletes. Order yours today. Visit GBOsnacks.com. That is GBOsnacks.com. Guys, it wasn't pretty. Offensively, it continued to kind of spin its wheels in place, not finishing drives. Defense certainly did a lot of great things that we'll hit on in a moment, but I did not think this was the greatest defensive performance for Tennessee. But at the end of the day, you made plays. You found a way to win, Brent. You're 7-1, and you know, you're sitting in a pretty good spot as we continue on through the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a one-game season. You survive in advance, if you will. Right now, style points aren't mattering. We'll see if style points matter when we get, you know, later on in the year, depending on what everybody's record is and what it looks like. But Tennessee, you know, opportunistic in the third quarter, forced two turnovers. Tennessee capitalized on those short fields and got in the end zone. But, man, they left a lot of meat on the bone. Yeah. And I think that's the takeaway that's been there, Austin, for three straight games is that they just – you walk out here and go, man, it's not unrealistic to think they should have scored 40 points. It was that way against Alabama. It was that way against Florida. And it's that way walking out after the win over Kentucky.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's in the two-minute drill. I saw, again, positive momentum in the right direction tonight. You know, but it's gradual. It's very, you know, it's a little by little. It's not, it's kind of like Tennessee's drives. Like, they're not hitting chunk plays. They're just kind of driving the field. That's how I kind of feel like Tennessee's progression on offense is it's, you know, it's an 8-yard gain. It's a 9-yard gain. Because I thought Nico was fantastic tonight. I thought it was his best game against a Power Four opponent. Kid should have thrown for, you know, 400 yards tonight if Tennessee's receivers could catch. And that's kind of, you know, you get the quarterback fixed, no more overthrows. He's dropping dimes everywhere, and all of a sudden the receivers can't catch anything. So it's like, you know, it's like my golf game. You know, get the irons fixed, driver goes bad. Get the driver fixed, the irons go bad, or the putter goes bad. But, yeah, I think, you know, again, little by little, showing some signs, but they need to get it figured out in 2 weeks because you can't, as you said, against Georgia, who's really been the one team that has dominated you, you can't drive the field all night long against them, you know, and feel like that's going to be a successful night.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the drive chart and, you know, again, Tennessee did a lot of good things to win this football game, and that's awesome. But you look at that drive chart, first half drive, missed field goal, punt, fumble, missed field goal, touchdown, end of half. Missed field goal, or that punt drive, you threw a touchdown that was dropped by Chris Brazel. Missed field goal. You know, there was a contested ball there in the end zone with Miles Goodson. I mean, that's a tough play. Again, sure, he was in the end zone. He had his hands on it, but defender put hat on ball and blew that up. Later on in the third quarter, I mean, what a throw into the window there to Chaz Nimrod, you know, on the post and hit him right in the hands and you drop it. And that is so frustrating because that, Brent, I do think that Nico took the way he ended the Alabama game and he carried it straight over. Yeah. I thought he was really, really good. Tennessee almost had 500 yards total offense, just didn't finish. Abysmal on the plus side of the field, really bad in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, 4 of 8 in the red zone is not going to get it done. You got to do that. But again, if you want to look at the positives of it, the quarterback, the game looked slow for the quarterback tonight as we've seen it look all year long. Take Chattanooga out of the equation, okay? They don't count. But against quality opponent, the game looked slow to him tonight. I thought his footwork was good. I thought he made one bad throw. And the one bad throw he made was it was a rush throw with a guy in his face. He probably just should have thrown it away. It could have been picked off. But outside of that, I thought Nico was really good. But again, look at it. It's you failed to mention in that first half drive chart, one of the reasons you ended up with a field goal attempt, holding penalty,
sack.
And then all of a sudden, everything you've done is derailed. I mean, it felt like Tennessee could move the ball at will, and then they got inside the 30 or got inside the 35-yard line. It's like a force field was around there. You know what I mean? It just, it, you know, it's just one of those things where for fans, for everybody sitting in there, it's really frustrating. You could sense it, Eric, in Josh Heupel's voice after the game. Like, he did not want to look a win and be disappointed with a win.
Yeah.
But you could sense a great deal of frustration about, we got to help ourselves.
Helping yourselves, complimentary football. Third quarter, Tennessee, again, I did not think it was the best day defensively, but three turnovers altogether, or three takeaways. Two of those takeaways led to points. Yeah. You had the Josh
Fields.
Yeah, Josh Joseph strip sack, you know, set up at the 28, and Tennessee finished that drive, albeit you start at the 28. Will Brooks gets hawked down, but he takes it all the way down to the 10-yard line. Tennessee finds a way to get in the end zone. Without those takeaways, Tennessee does not win, and it's the same song and dance as defense, albeit not great tonight, really good when they needed them.
I don't know if it's Eric or Grant, but we got the biggest kick out of watching the replay of the Will Brooks, you know,
because of Boo.
Yeah. You know, because when Brooks cut it back inside there, like at the 10, like Boo's like throwing his hands up, you should have went outside. And after the game, I told him, I said, man, we were laughing about that. And he goes, I tried to help him.
That's what Will said in post-game interviews. Like, he tried to tell me what to do. I didn't listen, obviously. And that's why I got caught. But, you know, great read, good play, read the quarterback's eyes, you know, and jumped the route, did a good job. I mean, Tennessee gave up some early chunk plays, which was uncharacteristic. I mean, a 50-yard run was a bad run fit. They gave up a couple other 20-yard gains. Which was against them. I will say this. Kentucky's second half scoring drive in the fourth quarter, I mean, that kid threw – he threw three dimes.
Grant said it.
If you count the two-point conversion.
Grant said it. I mean, like, Jermond McCoy, like, every time somebody's completed the pass against him, I mean, like, the guy's been dropping it in a bucket. Yeah.
It's like the throw of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he wasn't going to do that all night long, but he did it there, and it got him a touchdown. But otherwise, I thought Tennessee defensively, after those first couple of drives, settled in and was much better, you know, did some things better. I thought they would get more pressure than they did in the game, particularly early. I'll give Kentucky credit. I thought Kentucky would roll over. I didn't think Kentucky would have a lot of fight in them. They did tonight. They had fight in them, and the longer Tennessee let them stay around, I think the more that fight kind of gathered a little momentum and gathered a little steam. Tennessee needed to jump on them early, but again, fumble, penalty, missed field goal, drop touchdown.
Hey, I'm going to tell you.
That's where you're at.
If you're Heupel, I think you've got to figure out the place kicking thing. He's like one of his last six.
Mm-hmm.
And
I will say three of those is the offense just desperate to score points. He's putting out, 53 is not –
Yeah, the
I mean, it's a long
ones I don't mind. But tonight, I mean, he just
– tonight was awful.
It was hook, or that was just more of a draw than just a block and then a straight hook. And like that's – that can almost get in your head a little bit because the ones tonight weren't that long. I mean, that
tonight got in his head. Tonight got in his head. Yeah. I mean, he missed the last one because he was psyched out. He already missed, you know, a couple before that.
But, I mean, you're going to need him. I mean, he was so good early on for a redshirt freshman, but now all of a sudden you have to wonder where the psyche is for him, which means, you know, like what would Heupel have done had this thing come down to a field goal at the end? I think it would have been hard to trot him back out there. I think, you know, you're going to have to figure something out, you know, over the next, week or so.
Well,
and it probably would help next week if he could just see something. It's like the shooter that sees it go in.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a concern where you're at, you know, in a big ball game in a critical moment. What are you going to do? He did make a big kick against Alabama. After having a couple of misses, he came back, made a big kick there. You know, Nico made sure he didn't have to make a big kick, you know, with Tennessee up three because of what he did on third down. He made two really good throws on third down. I mean, the one to Dante Thornton was stupid in terms of just making that play.
Two third and sevens. Yeah. I thought, again, I mean, that's big boy football. It's why you come here to play football. Go win the game, score a touchdown, ice the game, convert on two. I mean, those two third and sevens were like a minute and a half apart as well because they were so fast.
It was. And you know, good plays, you know, by Nico and by the offense. And again, I mean, I don't think it's gloom, despair, and you know, agony on me and all those things. I think that you know, you can feel some frustration because I think Tennessee truly thought they would play really well tonight. Yep. I think they felt like they had two good weeks of practice. I think offensively they felt like they had found their footing. Their quarterback had turned the corner. He did. He didn't get enough help around him tonight is the bottom line.
I guess my question is, and again, there's no way for any of us to answer this. We don't have a crystal ball, but we continue to say, well, the defense is playing well. The offense is close. If they didn't fumble here, if they just connect on one deep throw here. I mean, again, they had almost 500 yards of total offense. They moved the football, just couldn't finish. So you walk away from this game, Austin, saying, man, Tennessee played its D effort offensively and could have scored 50. You still won, all that type of stuff. Are we ever going to get to a point to where it clicks? I'm not saying you're 2022 Tennessee offense, but you're not leaving as many points out there on the field, because we think it'll eventually get there, but week after week, here we are.
Yeah, you're right. Week after week, here we are doing the same podcast to a degree. I mean, like, you know, with a few wrinkles here and there. Yeah, you know, we'll see. I guess, you know, you just have to continue to kind of see where it goes. You could be Auburn's offense. You know, you could be several others that are just, you know, can't get any traction.
And like, it's encouraging because you know you can be so much better, and it feels like it's close. But again, to say what I just said, we say that every week.
Yeah, and next week you'll play a Mississippi State team that, again, is looking to lay down. They're not very good. They've been, you know, beaten by just not very good teams. They got run out of the stadium by Arkansas in Starkville just 2 weeks ago. And so, yeah, again, I saw positive signs tonight, even though Tennessee only scored 28. I thought that, you know, if they get that kind of play from Nico from here on out, they're going to continue to progress.
That's the biggest piece of the puzzle, and it always is. You get good quarterback play, you're going to be in position to win a lot of football games. And I know you already said it, easily this was his best game he's ever played for Tennessee.
Yeah, I thought earlier in the year he would have put a lot more heat on that ball to Kitzelman. Not the one he caught, the one that he got lit up and dropped. But I thought that was a great throw. It just nice defensive play by the safety for Kentucky. So, again, I thought he was fantastic. If he continues to play like this, Tennessee's offense will start to really jive, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing, you know, the interesting thing is we talk about, you know, this drop for a deep ball that would have been a score if Chaz Nimrod catches that ball that maybe surprised him. If Chris Brazel runs through the ball instead of leaves his feet, you know, those are two scores. But even with those misses, Tennessee was in the red zone really seven times. The eighth time didn't count because they took a kneel-down snap at the 19-yard line. Yeah. So that one's not fair. But they're in the red zone seven times and only scored four out of seven trips in the red zone. So even if you take away the missed on the big plays, if you're just more efficient in the red zone, you're sitting here talking about this being totally different. So there's a lot of things to learn from it. I think there's a lot of positives to move from it. With Nico and the way that he played, he's got to get more help around him. Listen, I'm okay with the defense. They've been so good all year long. I've written this and said this and asked this question. Can they play with the edge that they've played with every week? You know, I didn't think they had their best edge tonight. And it showed
points
early in the game, and they still
points
only gave up 18 points.
Which is incredible.
But it was against an offense that you could be average and or below average and only give up 18 points.
Well, if you go back to after the first two drives, where they got like 160 yards, up until the backup quarterback came in and threw a couple of those dimes there in the fourth quarter, they'd only got like 60 yards, like between the second drive or the start of the third drive to that point. I mean, like, Tennessee did a nice job. They just kind of had a few bigger plays hit on them tonight. They had some guys running open, and, you know, as you said, like, I just think you have to chalk it up to the James Pierce stuff. You were talking about the holding and no one calling it. That's, I think, in my mind, that's just going to be what it'll be. Like, they let him get mugged every week and they don't do anything about it.
Yeah, once again, I've been pointed out that this is the same crew that had the Alabama game a couple weeks ago. I mean, I thought this officiating crew was absolute garbage. I thought they were so bad. And you know, Tennessee won and nobody wants to blame a game or anything on the official. I thought they're at the end of the half. Tennessee was bad. Officials were bad. I mean, Rube McCoy got mugged down there at the 10-yard line. I mean, it was an atrociously called football game. Just my two cents. Anybody cares?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this. I mean, this is a crew that. I mean, it's not the SEC's best crew for sure. But again, Tennessee's got to go finish.
Yeah,
they've got to go do the things they need to do at a much better clip than what they've done right now. I mean, Josh Heupel talked about it post game. I mean, you know, you can't have three defensive penalties on one drive. I mean, at some point, you got to stop covering up the inside receiver if you're going to throw the ball to him. That's only happened three or four times this year.
I thought, and normally, especially tonight, when you go tempo like they were trying to go, they snapped that thing on that particular play so fast. I don't think anybody had a chance to even check to see if they were covered up. Like, I mean, it was so, and that's on them, right? I mean, yeah. But again, they snapped it. That was one of the fastest ones I've seen this year.
Because how many times has that happened in 4 years? But it's happened twice in the last 2 weeks. It's like
it's happened three or four times this year.
Yeah, it's like,
you know, those are things. And that's where Josh Heupel was frustrated, okay? And I get it. I mean, those are things that, you have to be better at. And that's the bottom line. You know, there's things where Tennessee has to be better. And I know exactly where, Tim Banks is going to be livid over the explosives because they've not given those up. They've not had bad run fits. Every now and then a guy's going to throw it, make a contested catch, and that happens. But they've just been so good at limiting the number of 30-plus yard plays. They gave up three tonight. I think they've given up four coming into the whole year.
To a really bad offense.
Well, even like on some of those, like Brock Vandergrift, they had two false starts. Neil, in fact, two false starts in a row. It's first and 20, and on first down, he runs for 18 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I give the defense a pass. Well, you won the game, so you give a pass. But I'm definitely giving the defense a pass because they have had to be so good to keep them in games.
Yeah.
You know, that this was a night where the offense should have helped them more, and they didn't. And that's – you talk about complimentary football. Tennessee did enough complimentary football in the third quarter to win the football game and that drive in the fourth. But they're not doing enough complimentary football in the first half to do what they need to do, and that's where Tennessee's got to grow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, even if this is your bad game, thankfully it was against a really bad offense. You still only give up 18 points, and you know, like you just pointed out, without those two takeaways in third quarter, you don't win the football game. You don't, and so you still made plays.
Absolutely,
that you did for a win.
That was a total separate note because I know we're going to move on. What was Kentucky doing throwing the ball when they were in the red zone in their first trip, and Tennessee got to stop on four downs? I mean, you get fourth and one at the one.
Yeah, I don't know. That was like. Personally, for me, I mean, everybody's like, "Why he's such an idiot to take the points?" I'm like, I mean, you're gonna get at that point. I thought you're gonna get your brains beat in. I was like, just go for it.
Well, I don't mind you going for it, but
the play
you,
call, yeah,
you don't throw the ball well as a team. Why are you throwing it down there?
Too many meetings. The only thing dumber I saw tonight, besides that, was the fact that Mike Elko punted it away down 10 with 5 minutes to go. I just thought that was dumb as well, which isn't a Tennessee thing. That's a Texas A&M thing. But I just sat there and shook my head. Like coaches, like, you know, sometimes they get too into the analytics and all that.
I was going to say out the door. Again, we can talk a lot about this on Tuesday's podcast, but South Carolina helped you out tonight a little bit. Louisville helped you out a little bit. You just keep winning and see kind of where everything shuffles. At the end of the day, you're 7-1. You are 4-1 in Southeastern Conference play. You have a very winnable game next week. You got a showdown in Athens coming up in 2 weeks. Just keep winning and see what else happens around the country. But you win, you're going to be in a position to do what you want to do.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing is, yeah, you need to worry about like how many teams get in from the ACC, how many teams get in from the Big Ten, all that. But the SEC is definitely going to get three, maybe four. We'll see how all this plays out. Just be in the top three in the league. And A&M losing tonight certainly helps. Now I think you got to root for Texas, go do their thing against A&M. That eliminates totally A&M because A&M right now only has one conference loss. So if they go and win out, they could be going to Atlanta. And I just think if you're in Atlanta, you're going to be going to the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think – and again, right now what Tennessee needs to do is just take care of Tennessee and let the rest of the football see – you know, everybody else, it'll play itself out. You find any way to win that you can find a way to win. Tennessee found a way to win tonight. It wasn't nearly as pretty or as effective as anybody wanted, starting with the people in the Tennessee camp and, the coaches and the players and everything. And now you go back to work and you keep growing. You got to try to grow and get better. Again, I think the quarterback played really well. That's a really positive sign. You got to help him. You got to help around him a little bit more. And defensively, maybe that's a little bit of a wake-up call on some of the explosive stuff. But again, 18 points. That's all you surrendered.
And again, we're ending this podcast, and it's just another day at the office for Dylan Sampson. Breaks a school record, but 100 and whatever yards, and a couple touchdowns.
And he'll go over 1,000 early in the game next week. I mean, he's sitting there like
he needed 164 entering the game. He about
he's 23 yards away. Then he's at 141 tonight. So, you know, think about it. It took till I think it was the last game of the regular season last year for Jalen Wright, and he's gonna be at it. You know.
Of course, he barely got the football compared to Dylan Sampson, but you're right, yeah.
Well, part of that's Jalen Wright's own fault for tapping out. But either way, like, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Dylan Sampson got a line here. And I thought that for the longest time tonight, they didn't use him enough. Like, you look out there and you're like, man, it's like 10 minutes ago in the football game, it's a 3-point game, and Peyton Lewis is out there. And I'm like, is this really the right guy to put Peyton Lewis out there?
I mean, we have that conversation every game. We kind of look and we say, well, I mean, why is Jalen Smith out there right now? Why is Peyton Lewis out there right now? But they trust their guys.
They do. You're exactly right. They rotate them a lot on both sides of the ball, which is not always the case. Yep. But you know, I mean, they do. They've bought into the rotating, which is something that was preached all offseason, and they've been doing it a ton. And I think it's helped and rewarded a bunch of this team because I think the depth is definitely there.
Yeah, I mean, you don't play Jalen Smith earlier in the year, then you can't play him, you know, in a game like this or a game like Alabama. So we've talked about that before. We'll continue to reiterate. We'll continue to recap and react for this football game. Tennessee, a 28-18 win over Kentucky and improving to 7-1 on the season and 4-1 in Southeastern Conference play. VolQuest live game day or mini podcast presented by our friends over at GBO Snacks, official licensed snack of Tennessee Athletics. Every purchase of Vol Waters and Vol's Cookies directly supports UT athletes, and our amazing student athletes help position UT at the forefront of today's ever-changing collegiate landscape. Order yours today at gbosnacks.com. That is gbosnacks.com. For Brett Hubbs, Austin Price, I am Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for being here and listening to us on the post-game mini podcast.